was lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're very welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I am Johnny Smacks. On this week's podcast, we are discussing how Halloween has changed from when we were boys.
And we're going to be talking about parents on the sideline.
And their behaviour. And of course, Junior B hurling manager, and strangely a man who has no criminal record, Noel Furlong, will be here with the news.
And our lovely producer, Maura, can't be here today because she's down.
Ironically, she's got food poisoning from chicken goujons. I kid you not.
Filling into the spot is Care GA stalwart and longtime friend of the Two Johnnies with absolutely no podcast or radio experience, Jer the Sparrow Holly. Woo!
How's it going? Good to see everyone.
Good to see everyone.
Good to see everyone. And we bring you our interview with Irish band De Laurentiis from our live podcast, which was recorded at the Sugar Club.
And as always, we finish up with the proud tradition of our people.
Yurt or dirt.
Are you saying R or and still?
Yurt or dirt?
Yurt or dirt. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I got a message on the gram saying, Johnny lad, you boys are legends. Oh, thanks. Who makes me read this out?
Yeah.
I do go down to Bondi Beach and listen to the podcast, and I do be laughing bits to myself, and everybody's there from their mother and their dog looking at me laughing away, probably thinking to themselves, classic pasty white Irish man, drunk on a Tuesday morning. Keep up the good work. And you should probably stop drinking on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah, that's not cool. Guy was in touch on Instagram, Monaghan Mick. He said, no Mike Bassett, England manager in the top five. That is a good show. That is a great show. Fucking Ramirez.
Three cheers for Ramirez. Yeah, that's a good show. Check it out. And then, lads, listen to the latest podcast. The poor young fella that can't get a chicken roll in London needs to go to Hometown Rolls in Tooting Market. Breakfast rolls, hot chicken rolls, the job. Love the podcast. Thanks very much. Laughing on the tube. A lot of lads said that. Hometown Rolls in Tooting over in London if you want a chicken roll or a breakfast roll.
It's a bit far enough for us to go. Aussie Bonbon was in touch. Lads, I'm out here in India at the moment, and Noel's story of the monkey driving a bus doesn't surprise me at all. The place is cowboy country. Rented a bike in Pushkar the other day, and do you think I have a license? Fuck no. No license, no problem. On the road, I was dodging people, cars, bikes, tuk-tuks, cows, boars, dogs, monkeys, and camels. The place is crazy. Sounds exactly like Carlo. Tell Noel, keep up with the news. 'Tis tough to get Wi-Fi to listen to the podcast, but I do my best to preach the gospel according to the two Johnnies over here in India. Good man, Aussie Bonbon.
Good man, Aussie Bonbon. And another young lady was on touch on the gram saying, well, lads, about your talk about cocaine, so it was last week's topic, as well as sports films. I know we get around. I live in a small town in the rural Tipperary, and I think I could get cocaine easier than alcohol. It's so scary and real that on the bus to the Debs, I had people sitting beside me that I know years, and they were at it. Absolutely shocked. And then I did go on her Instagram and find out where she's from, but I'm not saying.
Yeah, we had a backlash there as well to last week's topics when we're talking about drugs and stuff. We got this in. Guys, think you should educate yourselves on weed before you speak on such a topic. You guys glorify drinking all the time, and it's a million times worse, and you sound like my granny when you talk about weed. Great podcast. Love from Canada, where strangely weed has just been introduced. I'd say paranoia levels could be high in Canada. No, look, lads, you know, we spoke on our own personal experiences. Everybody's different. Some people can function and, you know, enjoy it or whatever. So each to their own. But I would say it is still against the law, technically, in Ireland. We also got one in there, Johnny.
I want to say, yeah, a lot of people were saying to us about weed that it's not that bad and all that. We're only saying in our personal experience, the people we've seen who have gotten messed up from it. So I'm sure there's, you know, there are lots of people out there. They use it in moderation and they hold down a job and they're members of society and all that crack. More power to you. We're only saying, go handy. Go easy, as the Sparrow would say. In our own personal experience, it's not great stuff, okay?
Hi, lads and Maura. Just want to commend you on highlighting the drug issue in Ireland. I myself have seen it firsthand. My brother started smoking weed at 14. Sure, isn't it harmless? Now at 36, it's taken over his life. He's now a heroin addict as he couldn't get the buzz he was getting off whatever shite he was taking. It has completely destroyed his life. He really is a gifted stonemason, but isn't able to function a normal life, and for all the world is a debt to society. I hope some young ones listening to your podcast see sense and realise it's a dead end. It's completely ruined his life, and to be honest, our parents' lives. It's even come to the point I can't go into our local nightclubs and pubs because people associate me with him and presume I'm like him. If you choose to read this out, please keep my name anonymous as I die of mortification. Love the podcast. Keep it up, gang. That's another point of view.
There are a couple of horror stories now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, also Dennis Bergkamp was onto me on Snapchat.
Not Dennis Bergkamp, who plays up front for Arsenal, or used to.
Could be. Just listening to the episode Pull Like a Dog, where we interviewed the O'Donovan brothers, and we were talking about having kids as well. Yous are both a pair of bastards, but I want to thank you for raising the subject about people's situations. Not the best for a number of people, and my wife and I are part of that. Every day we get asked the same question and blaming work and all sorts to tell everyone to fuck off. This is about, are you having kids? Cheers, boys, for making me laugh with the jokes and for making me proud of Has for raising that subject. Honda Wee County, yeah, bye, yeah. Pints are on me if you ever pop up this way. That's from Dennis Bergkamp in County Louth.
That's unreal. Got another one in there on the Snapchat. Missed two podcasts. Came back from a night out. Between Daniel O'Donnell and getting loose, I'm in fucking bits waking up the shop. Thank you so much. Please never, ever stop podcasts, like, ever.
Get loose.
And lastly, we got one in. Listening to the podcast out in Koh Samui, Thailand. Hoping to channel Noel's Wicked Ways out tonight. Last podcast, lads. That comes the whole way in from Koh Samui.
Koh Samui abroad in Cavan. In Thailand.
So that's it, yeah, that's for the feedback on this week. So the weekly roundup, what's been going on in Two Johnny's Land this week? Been a busy week.
What is your flat out?
We were in fairness.
I hadn't a minute.
On Saturday we were at the Youth Forum up in Croke Park, the GA Youth Forum. Great day. We solved every problem there ever was in the GA up there with a group of 14, 15, 16 year olds. So there were kids of all ages from all over the country. They apply and they go up and they voice their concerns to the GA. The president was there the whole lot.
He was, and he loved our songs.
He did.
We did. We got to perform in Croke Park.
Yeah, he even referenced one of them there in a point he was making during a debate.
Yeah, as the two Johnnies would say, you know, cans and beers do get in the way of playing games. That's
his words.
He's not wrong. Yeah,
yeah, and I quote.
Very good. I enjoyed to know that all young people got to have their say, and they were debating things like, you know, moving the age of minor back to 17, whether it should stay in front of the senior games. How to handle things if your coach is on to you, wants you to do something you don't want to do. How to come back from injuries. You know, movement. There was physios there showing them all that stuff. Proper warm-ups.
I spent the whole day getting physio up there on my dodgy hip. No, I'm joking. A great day to you, Foreman. Fair play to the GA for setting that up. We also had a sketch up this week on our Facebook and YouTube. And it was opposition manager. So it was kind of based on when the opposition manager comes in after the game. The worst tradition ever in GA, Johnny. Would you agree?
Ye just stick at it now, and I've no doubt we'll meet ye again in the semi-final. And after beating you by about 79 points, like.
And, like, the opposition manager always the most condescending man in history. So we thought we'd just highlight that. And we're recording this podcast, of course, on a Sunday. And we're fresh for once. So we've got a show tonight in the Charleville Park. We're looking forward to that. Should be a great night. Now, we've got an announcement.
Will I overdub some sound effects here, or will I do them with me mouth?
Go on, do them with your mouth there. Oh, Jesus. Overdub them. We've got a gig coming up.
We've got a new gig announcement.
Yes, big gig announcement. Johnny.
Even bigger than that.
Even bigger than that. A huge announcement.
Huge announcement. Everybody sit down. We are coming back to Dublin. Oh, shit!
Shit, mic drop.
Damn!
So we will be doing a music gig. It's going to be called the Two Johnnies Christmas Party. It's in Whelan's in Dublin. It's on the 11th of December. Tickets will be made available this coming Friday on Ticketmaster, right?
20 bob.
20 bob, yeah, all in, bye.
Cash.
Cash money, bye. So you have to buy them on Ticketmaster. They'll be on sale Friday morning from 9 a.m. Listen, right, they're telling us it's going to sell out. We don't know, we can't see into the future. But yeah. I would say get your tickets fast.
Yeah.
You know, because the Sugar Club sold out, so.
Like, Westlife sold out two nights in Croke Park.
Yeah, surely, like, we'll sell out night in Whelan's, you know?
It was only one night in Whelan's.
And we're hoping to be joined by some special guests who will come up and.
We've put the feelers out for some of the greatest guests of all time.
Yeah, it's going to be.
And we will huge. Have the full band with us, four other musicians. So there'll be six of us on stage and then our guests. It's going to be crazy.
All the tunes, all the crack, a couple of Christmas classics and a couple of Two Johnny favourites will be sang on the night as
well. I'm buzzing for that.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be unreal now. And I know we've an idea who the guests are, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be unbelievable.
Just like, whatever you're thinking of doing now, shut up and buy the tickets.
Yeah, buy the tickets, lads. You know, if you have the office party on that night.
Fuck them.
Fuck them, just come. Bring the whole office.
You're getting the podcast for nothing.
Yeah.
And go and buy that fucking ticket.
And Noel will be there. He'll actually sing a song on the
Noel
night.
Noel is going to sing on the night. Oh, first time. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. An exclusive, lads. So get your tickets on Ticketmaster.
Hey, this- Sparrow, are you going to come?
€20 I might. You know, well, the toll. Should you chip in for the toll for me, would you?
We'll pay for the toll.
Right.
Yeah.
I might go.
Johnny will pay for the toll up. I'll pay for the toll back.
Yeah, fair enough.
There we go. We got a deal, lads. We're looking forward to seeing you all in Whelan's on the 11th of December. All right. Topic number one, Halloween. Halloween is an annual holiday celebrated each year on October 31st, and Halloween 2018 occurs on Wednesday, of course, October 31st. It originated with the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain?
Say Samhain, yeah, Sauna.
Sauna, yeah. When people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts. In the 8th century, Pope Gregory III designated November 1st as a time to honour All Saints. All Saints Day incorporated some of the traditions of Samhain. The evening before was known as All Hallows Eve and later Halloween. Over time, Halloween evolved into a day of activities like trick-or-treating, carving jack-o'-lanterns, festive gatherings and donning costumes.
Jack-o'-lanterns.
Now, that don't sound that like the Halloween we know nowadays. That is for sure.
Jack-o'-lantern is a pumpkin.
Is that what it is, yeah?
Yeah.
Why couldn't they say that? Do you know, back in the day, they used to carve out turnips.
Yeah, but that's where it came from.
Yeah, but your turnip, you'd be half the day carving out when they're rock hard. You want a jackhammer.
And a fucking, an unhealthy drill or something.
Something that sticks with me there now is trick-or-treating. Don't like that. Is that what you call it?
Trick-or-treating.
Trick-or-treating, yeah.
Well, in Roscrea, we used to call it penny for the pookie.
What does that mean? Like,
you go up to like someone's door and be like, penny for the pookie. You seem astonished here.
Are you the pookie, like?
I don't know, like...
Who's the pookie?
Who's
the
pookie?
Penny. Yeah. You're a pookie, yeah.
You're a fucking pookie.
Can someone get in touch, lads, that listens to the podcast and tell me where that came from? Because that's what we used to say. Penny for the pookie.
That was the tune?
Yeah. I suppose it's probably sang in a better pitch than that now, but...
So there was no way that they could make you sing a song or anything. It wasn't like trick
I'm
or
sure
treat.
Everybody tries that. Like, they're like, oh yeah, go on, sing a song. You're like, here lad, just throw us out 20 pence. And not a fucking jukebox. So, or you'd often go into the local pub, like, and you'd go in there and do penny for the pookie. Now, they would make you sing. Like, you'd have to earn your few bob in there if you're going to get a couple of cents out there. But I don't like trick or treat. Very American. Call a penny for the pookie.
The ideal time to go trick or treating is around 6, when lads are just home from work and they're not ready for you. Go down to the housing estates and lad, oh, sorry young lad, I'm only in the door there and I've no sweets, but sure, there's €2. You'd be like, yeah. Fuck your sweets, man.
Business.
Yeah, Paddy O'Connor got a full Swiss roll off a lad one day. Robbie Purtle said he got a full barn brack off a lad one day.
Barn brack. I'd have fired it back into his window.
They were the great ones, lad. You catch people when they're not ready. I've gone for the self-service approach now. I just leave out a basin of like fun-sized Mars bars. Knock yourselves out, lads.
But you're like definitely then some kids come along taking all them in one go.
Yeah, I'm sure I don't care, do I?
What if start ringing the doorbell then? You definitely go out and have a chat with them. You chat to anyone. You'd be out there now having a deep conversation with some 7-year-old on the pookie.
Oh, lad, I'm wrecked. I was up on the pookie all night. We've already discussed drugs on this podcast, lad.
Okay, so costumes, Johnny.
Yeah.
You know, we're comparing them here from when we were boys.
Boys.
They've changed a lot.
When we were boys, you got a black bag, a refuse bag.
Yeah.
You bushed 3 holes in it, a head and each arm. And then, if you're lucky, you had face paint and a cap. Or else, you'd have to go down to Dolan's and you get like a 50-cent plasticky mask that would crack at every opportunity and stick into your face.
That's the thing.
And everybody was just a demon or a little devil.
A little devil, yeah. And the little plastic masks, yeah, for like 50 cent inside News and Views. Or else if you went all out, you might get one for 3.50, which was a rubber one. You put it on then and sweat to death inside it. Like, you'd be just soaking and take the mask off. But everybody had a black bag and a plastic mask.
Everybody was an old ghoul. Or a goblin.
I suppose people didn't have the money. Nowadays it's all like 2-piece and you're dressed up as Frankenstein. You can buy the costume in the shop for 30 quid or...
I looked it up. The most popular Halloween costume for kids this year. Fortnite.
No way.
Yeah, the computer game.
Jeez.
Your man, he's like a spaceman going around. You know that fella?
Spaceman.
Wait, so if they arrive at your door saying trick or treater, penny for the pookie, will they do the dance for you? The Fortnite dance with the hands?
Floss.
The floss, yeah. Floss.
Is that where it came from?
Oh, it's from the game, lad. Oh. Yeah. You've seen rugby players and all do that as a celebration. It's from a computer game.
Have you ever dressed up as that indecent, Johnny? I know you posted a picture on your Instagram dressed up as a cowboy. You know, I don't know. Were you trying to join the YMCA or were you actually going trick-or-treating with that?
That was the fashion back in 82. One of my favourite costumes, three of my mates arrived onto a party and they were wearing nothing but bags. So let me see, like, if you were going on holidays and you bought like a huge rucksack, they cut a hole for the head, arms and legs and got into the bags. So the bag would come down to about their knees up to their neck. And one guy was like, I'm the bag man. And the next lad had a pea cap on and he's like, I'm a scumbag. They were fairly loaded now.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
My neighbour Paddy, then he went as a vampire one time and painted his face white. Only to discover it was emulsion. Dermot's son of the Roger. His father was out with the white spirits and a wire brush, lad, trying to get the, he painted his face, lad, with emulsion for the wall. He had a white face for the whole weekend, lad. He couldn't leave the house.
That's brilliant. And have you ever dressed up as that?
I had a giant bottle of tequila suit there. I went to my mate Paul. He was the Celtic Tiger and I was his bottle of tequila.
Great. Bottle of tequila, yeah.
We went as mates of mine got fireman costumes and went out stopping traffic there at night.
That is dangerous.
They probably shouldn't be doing that now.
I dressed up as Mrs. Brown once. I had a Halloween down in West Clare and I dressed up as Mrs. Brown, you know, the fake boobs, and I had the cardigan, the whole lot.
Aye, aye.
Now, it was a pub in West Clare that, you know, hadn't seen many fancy dress parties, I'd say, before. And there was a fella at the bar, probably in his mid-70s, who was fully convinced I was actually a woman. He'd give me the eye all night.
Did he drop the hand?
No, he just kept staring at me like he was licking his lips and stuff. It's fucking weird now, to be honest with you. So that was the last time I dressed up.
You should have went over to him like, hey, big boy.
Like, I had a moustache, you should have known. But I mean, some of the great costumes I've encountered over the year is, of course, a local man and Priest Road native, James Brennan,
yeah,
arrived onto a Halloween house party one night as the Haunted Box. Which consisted of James taking a box from our local Super Value Dolan's and just popping it on his head and writing "The Haunted Box" on it. The kids were honestly, they were frightened out of their minds by James Brennan and a cardboard box on his head.
Was he just wearing like jeans and a jumper then?
I say so, yeah. He didn't even go to the effort of putting on a black bag. He wore jeans and a t-shirt and a cardboard box on his head.
What age was he?
This was only like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. You know, so I thought that was a brilliant one, and of course local man Martin Collins as well.
Oh God,
who managed to like put his own head on a table. So basically, it was like Martin, you know, was being served for dinner, and he had this table balancing on his shoulders and stuff,
and a hole cut out for his head,
and a hole cut out for his head, like, and his head was on a fake plate,
fake blood. And
it was a nightmare. We're trying to go to Clonmel, couldn't get out of the doors of the pub. Never mind, get into Clonmel. So we're like, hey, Martin, you either leave the table behind now, we're not going to Clonmel.
Sure, did you ever dress up as that? And good.
My best fancy dress is probably dressing as Jackie Moon.
Yeah.
Oh, semi-pro.
Semi-pro, yeah. You were only talking about it last week.
You
yeah.
jive turkey.
I was a JT. Yeah.
Costumes have really changed over the years, Johnny. Girls' costumes and lads, you know. Nowadays, girls just put like a name before a costume and it becomes, so it's like sexy nurse.
I'll put a noun before it, yeah. It's costume.
Sexy nurse. Dead nurse. Sexy devil. Dead devil. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, was the other one? Broke nurse.
Broke nurse, yeah. So like I'm a broke nurse.
I'm a nurse with no money.
Yeah.
Which is very accurate.
I don't know. Tits and legs aren't that scary at Halloween, to be fair.
Lad, young wants to be going around in some...
Get up.
Some get up.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it, only as like...
You wouldn't let your daughter out in it.
Mother of God, you'd be trying not to. Like, young ones there to come out, oh, I'm a taxi.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
No.
And they'd be wearing like... a skirt about 3 inches long and it'd be yellow. And then the little bra yoke could have like the checkered flag, like, and she'd be wearing the cap. Oh, I'm a taxi. Are you looking for a fucking ride? Is it like, come on? I swear, it's very creative now, is all I'm saying.
But I think the big thing now that's coming in is the special effects makeup, you know. So you have someone with a schlitter hanging out their head and, yeah, and it's done into their head. Like, it's cool, but Jesus, some effort. Go back to the black bags, lads, I'd say.
It's all about the lads now painting on bones onto their face.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Stitches and all crackling.
Yeah, just go play junior hurling, you'll have a fair...
You'll have a fair few stitches. But I'm not just having a cut of girls' costumes now. Lads' costumes, lads take the easy way out. And they can also look like tossers now, to be fair. The vest top and, you know, putting on a load of tan. And then they're like, oh, I'm on Geordie Shore. No, you're not.
That's the Johnny,
you're a tosser.
That's the Johnny Smacks look.
I've actually never done that. No, and you know what? The black suit. A fella comes out wearing a black suit, black tuxedo. Yeah. Who are you dressed up as? James Bond. Fuck off.
Prick.
Yeah. 100%.
Anyone who goes Halloween as James Bond, you need to defriend him.
I would say immediately.
Immediately.
But I mean, when we were young, less Johnny, things were a bit wilder than they are now for Halloween.
Bonfires.
Yes, bonfires. Eggs. That's what I'm talking about.
There's an old industrial estate across the river there, and you'd be a teenager going over to Casey's Tiles. You'd be like, hey, Mossy, can I get a few pallets? Hey, what are you doing with the pallets? Building a shed. 2 days before Halloween, and you're dripping in petrol.
To be fair, pallets and tires became currency at Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there was a local garage there in Roscrea, like, and it was amazing how all of the tires he had stored out the back would disappear the week of Halloween.
The pollution, though, for them.
That, there was no pollution back in 1998 now, I'll tell you that now.
Pollution didn't exist.
No, you used to go around the housing estate knocking on doors and you'd be saying, Anne, have you eaten? You want a trout for the bonfire? And she'd go, no. Wait now, I'm decorating the room now. Next thing you'd have chest of drawers, you'd have a mattress. You might have a couple of kids she wanted to get rid of as well.
So where was the bonfire in Roscrea?
Well, the one I would have went to now was in Sheehan, which was actually the opposite side of town, but my aunt and my cousins lived up there, so that's where we'd go.
Right.
It was amazing to see the effort people went to with the bonfires when we were young. They'd sleep there overnight. Like, someone would have thrown a couch out.
Yeah?
And they'd be like, well, we're not burning the couch now yet. And they'd, like, stay on the couch there chatting for the night because the other estates come up and rob your bonfire. If you 20 tires, word went around, oh, the boys up in Sheehan have 20 tires, lads, they'll burn all night. Other estates be up then trying to rob the tires. That's what you're up against, lads.
Who could have the best bonfire?
I'm going to say Sheehan, yeah, I'm going to be biased.
But that was it, that was the competition, like.
Yeah, who would have the best bonfire? Who'd burn the longest, like? We'd burn all night there. The bonfire starting Wednesday or Friday morning, still be lads out of the bonfire. 200 tires inside it.
Out in the middle of the green.
Yeah, or... And, like, you think they'd strategically place it so it wouldn't affect having a game of soccer on the green. But no, the bonfire would be cracked by, like a centre circle. Just burn it out with the bonfire all year. It's amazing thinking back to that.
Johnny, did you ever go throwing eggs?
One year I attempted it. I went down, I got a load of eggs and I filled my jacket up and all my pockets with eggs. And then the cops came. And they were like, if you have any eggs there, you know, reports of people throwing eggs. I was like, no. He was like, do you mind if I search you? Of course, he came over and banged all my pockets and smashed all the eggs on me. So I never threw an egg again. I learned my lesson. What about you? You were a bowsy, like, around there with a ponytail throwing eggs.
I did throw a few eggs back in the day. One of the boys, I think Chopsy was the first man who got a car. He was a bit older than us, so we used to drive out to our Finnan and they'd all be standing at the shop. And then we'd might fire a few eggs at them. And then we'd be inside in the town, sitting on the bridge. And all the Arfin lads that arrive in throwing eggs back at us. There was war, lad.
Yeah.
It was like War of the Buttons, just with dairy products.
God help you if you're lactose intolerant but or something.
Yeah, I know. You wouldn't be doing any damage, like. You'd only be throwing at other teenagers, like. You don't want to ruin anyone's night out.
Yeah, I think the big thing back then was fireworks. And it was a particularly scary time for me anyway to be in school when Halloween came. Because in Roscrea now, you'd head off to Clara Market to buy the fireworks. You know, you'd be walking along and there'd be this woman pushing a huge pram with no child in it. And then she'd just be like, do you want to buy fireworks?
What?
Do you want to buy fireworks? And you'd be like, oh, yeah, go on, I'll have a packet of Black Cats. Before you know it, she's a load of rockets shoved up your jumper and everything. She's like, €40. You're like, oh, jeez, I only wanted a packet of Black Cats. She's like, don't be messing with me, it's €40. And you'd end up paying her. Like, I remember my friend Shane couldn't even get out the entrance gate at Clara. He was walking like a robot. He was stuck together with rockets and screamers and all sorts.
Like a scarecrow.
Yeah, but it was particularly scary when you go back to school. The LCA boys get a hold of the fireworks. You know what I mean? And if they weren't dating them, they were setting them off. So you'd be walking downtown for your lunch and you come back up then and all you'd see a lot of people running real fast. Saying, what's going on? Bang! Or you'd be in the middle of class, big explosion, bin all over the place.
Yeah,
up the hall.
Yeah, the bin.
Boys after blowing up the bin.
Blowing up the bin was a classic banter.
Like, you know, a lot of the LCA boys used to spend all their days throwing bonbons at you, walking up and down the road to school. But then the week of Halloween, they were just throwing Black Cats at you. So it was just absolute chaos.
Where would they be throwing bonbons at you?
Honestly, it was like a skill in Roscrea. You get a slap of a bonbon from 100 yards away. Crack in the back of the head, like. Some fella standing there then, like, not able to add up to 12, but, like, he can take someone's eye out with a bonbon. They should have had that in the curriculum. Skills. Bonbon throwing. Good man Mikey. Probably a cop now. No, but genuinely, it was a scary time.
Well, the cops would be chasing you. We got many a great chase after cops now, throwing eggs, running across the railway tracks. That's what it was all about, lad.
But it was, yeah. How many chases could you get in a night? I got caught with it. Now, the cops didn't catch me. I had a gear bag full of fireworks that we'd bought at Clare Market, and we're going down to one of my friend's house. He was having a Halloween party. I was only 16, like. And we're walking down the road with the fireworks, and we're going to let them off. His parents were actually going to let them off, like, and stuff.
Right.
And, no, genuinely, I'm not just saying it now. It was a proper Halloween party. And the cops were coming up the road, so I threw the gear bag in over a wall and just stayed walking down the road. And the cops stopped me and were like, oh, seen a lad going around there with fireworks around? And I was like, no. And then, like, they stopped me talking for a minute, asked me where I was going, a few questions. I was like, I'm going down to my friend's house. They're like, Grant, enjoy your night. So they turned around and drove off down the other road. I went back in to get the gear back. Gone. Yeah, some fellow was watching me, waiting for me, threw it in over the wall. He went in and got 150 euros worth of fireworks.
Oh.
Turned up down to Halloween party. Boys were like, where's the fireworks? I was like, oh, they got robbed on me on the way down. They were like, bet your mother wouldn't let you bring them out. I was like, no, honestly, they got robbed. So,
bonfire store nearly gone, lad.
Yeah, because they're scary things. They're scary things, bonfires. In the wrong hands. You know what I mean? You start hearing these horror stories of lads throwing cats fucking shit into the bonfire. And like, that's just wrong. And black cats, that kind of stuff. That can't be.
I don't like cats at the best of times, but I wouldn't throw it into a fire.
No, definitely not. That's, and I think that has certainly led to bonfires and stuff. And
the
Halloween.
Decline.
Yeah, the decline of them. And look, I suppose when you look back on it, it's probably not that safe with like aerosols, etc.
Yeah.
You know, you heard all the horror stories, so it's probably no harm that that's coming to an end.
Yeah, I know, but if you...
You know, unless you could get the fire brigade on board and they'd be there and, you know, have a little small bonfire or something, but...
And who are the lads that'd be bricking the fire brigade?
Yeah, sure, that's it, like...
that's cruel.
Yeah. Fire brigade pull up, like, lads be throwing eggs at and everything. It's just, I don't know.
Cut it out. Fireworks not easily got anymore, lad.
You won't get fireworks too handy now.
Plowing match, I'm going to say it.
I didn't see a firework at plowing match, no. In the last... year anyway.
You're not looking for them.
Where would you get them?
There'd be lads there.
In the prams.
Oh, there'd be lads there.
I didn't see any now. And
you were on your phone now.
Did you see him?
I seen him.
Describe him. Describe him for me.
There were lads there. There was lads there.
Lads there selling fireworks.
No, lads always black cats. Outside the grounds.
Aha. That's what it is, Johnny. That's why I didn't see him. You were going around looking for them, I'd say, were you?
No. Speaking of going around looking for things, the shift at Halloween, Johnny.
Big one. Big one. Halloween was a good time now to get the shift. You were just going on midterm. You'd be settling into the new school year, and there'd surely be no shift going there at Halloween. You'd be trying to act cool. You'd be throwing eggs at your one, like smash an egg off a forward. 2 minutes later, they'd be, do you want to shift me?
I only smashed that egg off you because I like you.
Yeah, there you go. But Halloween parties, well, good place. You know, you're all coming together. Some class games came out of Halloween.
Bob the Apple, lad.
Bob the Apple. An absolute classic.
It's great. Oh, wait, no. Which one is Bob the Apple? On a string or
in
the water?
Bob the Apple is in the water, yeah.
Put an apple in water, try and eat it. Classic Apple banter.
But, like, it's gas, you know, thinking back to that time as well, like, where all these games are, now they're probably all just playing PlayStations. But at the time, very unhygienic. You'd have an apple hanging out of a string in the kitchen, and around 40 kids going up, throwing them out around it.
Yeah.
And some lads hopping their big two front teeth off it and taking chunks of it here and there. It's disgusting. The level of unhygienic. You know, think back, Johnny. You definitely done it. Like
germs.
Yeah, germs, lads. Germs are bad.
This is one aspect of Halloween we differ now.
Okay.
Baron Brack.
Cat.
Class. Jura, get in the ring.
Don't like it, John.
It's evil, lad. Kerns. Old kerns in it and stuff. Dirt. Absolute dirt. You only have it because there's no expiry date in it, but you're still eating in January.
Baron Brack. The thing was, in a Baron Brack, there could be a little ring, you've all heard of this. There could be a piece of cloth or a bit of a shtick. If you got the ring, you were going to get your ring.
Oy.
If you got the ring, you were going to get married. If you got the cloth, you were going to be a nun. And if you got the shtick, you'd never get married. And that was the story of the Baron Brack.
What did you get? Have you had a brack this year yet?
No, but I do love bracks. I'm just going to Clonmel and get a brack. And the bakery in Clonmel said they sell Halloween bracks all year round now.
Great.
Big demand for them.
Yeah, I'd say you're the only one buying them.
They're class. They're much better than Christmas cake.
Yeah, I don't like Christmas cake either.
The colours of Halloween, according to the Celts, 'twas now the Celtic festival, was black and orange. So they say, Johnny, you watch out for this one now. Watch out for this. Meeting an orange-haired woman was considered to be a bad omen, especially for fishermen. Furthermore, legend has it that for a man to meet an orange-haired woman on Halloween was even more dire. He had to turn around and go right back home.
Jeez. I'm fucked.
If you meet an orange-haired woman on Halloween,
stay away.
Use protection.
The colours of day, black and orange.
Yeah, Kilkenny.
There you go.
There you go.
The custom of Halloween, Johnny, was brought to America by the Irish famine immigrants in 1840, and there they used pumpkins, jack-o'-lanterns. But of course, in Ireland, what did they use, Johnny?
Turnips. And I tell you, it's hard enough to cut a turnip if you're going to eat it. Never mind carve one out now. You go through some spoons, I'd say. So the Irish invented Halloween.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Fact.
The Irish invented it. The Americans perfected it.
Ah, would you go way?
Ah, they go all out. You see the coat of them? They're all dressed up. Over. When was the last time you dressed up for Halloween?
Oh, I used to be always gigging with the band.
Yeah, but like, you know what I mean? Adults don't really go all out. You go to America now, like, they'll have some Halloween parties. They'll be dressed head to toe, Buzz Lightyear, the whole lot will be dressed
Harry
up.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, but I would just like to issue a statement on behalf of this podcast, lads.
Mm-hmm.
Stay safe this Halloween.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
Just flammable costumes out.
They're dangerous.
One more. The old Irish Halloween game was to blindfold a person and have them place their hand on items spread across the table. Landing in a bowl of water meant emigration. A piece of earth meant death. And a ring meant a wedding. And so on and so on. That's a fucking scary game.
Game you want to play.
They were sick back then, lads. I tell you that. Right, stay safe this Halloween. Enjoy yourselves. If you're going to a fancy dress party, make an effort, lads. You know?
Yeah.
And I tell you, if there's any legends out there, send us in pictures on our social media.
And suggestions. We're going to dress up every day this week on Instagram for an old Halloween costume. Send us in your suggestions.
All right, everyone's favourite hurling fundamentalist has just entered the room. 19 years, he's hurled senior. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Noel Furlong and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's!
All right, young fella.
Well, Noel, it's good to have you back here. Back in care again this week.
Obviously. Where's the other one?
She's sick. She actually got food poisoning from chicken goujons.
Hitting scraps again.
Yeah. She's very sick, so you've Jory, you know George.
I know young Halley, yeah. I marked his father.
Did you?
Yeah. He was fair fucking Rucon in the day, I'll tell you that. But, Halley's not too bad himself now.
Is he good?
He better than you, yeah. Huh? Did you ever mark that slob? You did.
She never trains, Noel. Never trains,
man.
It's slob.
Huh? He wouldn't kick a ball out of his way, that's right. Never mind. No. When are you going to fix my intro music, huh?
We'll have it possibly next week, Noel. We're working on it.
Fucking Post Mulnahan there.
Post Mulnahan.
I'm sick of that now. Anyway, first news story of the week. There's a caravan on the move. Okay. It's not the Donoghue's heading to Clonay. It's over in Central America. Now, did you know there's a country called Honduras?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I thought it was called Juris. Remember during the World Cup? Myself and Tony Burke used to be watching the soccer and he'd say, "Ha, Honduras!" I thought the country was called Juris. So, "Ha, Honduras!" So, anyway, top fact about Honduras, it's a dive. Now, do you know where Mexico is?
Yes.
Yeah, you do, yeah. Right. It's in Connacht, says you. Huh? Ha, 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 ha. So below Mexico, where America gets skinny, it gets narrow. And then you have the big bit of South America and Panama and all that. Just there, off to one side, is Honduras. But the wicked corruption, poverty, unemployment, gang warfare, the whole lot. It's a tropical Monaghan. So on the 12th of October, in the crime-ridden Honduran city of San Pedro Sula, a group of about 160 lads, they gathered at the bus terminal and they were heading off, right? Now don't fucking talk to me about San Pedro Sula. We played them in the minor last year. Remember? Remember them? They had a lad playing midfield. Fuck it, he was 40 anyway. Huh? I'd say he was on the old Schnockta. You know what I mean? Cheers, for the first 20 minutes he was flying. He was taking kickouts and catching them himself. So, and they wouldn't believe me. I said, that fella's definitely on the old Joe Kane. So, at half time anyway, he drank a bottle of baby oil and he went into cardiac arrest. So, and he died.
Did he?
Yeah, it's awful sad.
My God.
I'll tell you one thing. Stephen Grogan cleaned up midfield for the second half. Fucking cleaned up in midfield by the big lad gone. I said, where's your big man now, huh? They said, he's gone to a strip club. I said, that's awful. You won't see me there for at least half an hour. So this caravan, anyhow, right? Which is Latin for a load of lads. Fact. Now, most previous migrant caravans is actually just a load of lads walking together. They call it a caravan, right? But this one is that we're gathering some numbers because a former politician put it on Facebook. Hey, boys, we're all going walking to America. And then 1,000 lads joined him straight away. And now they're after going through Guatemala, Mexico. People are joining along the way. They've been walking for 2 weeks, non-stop, sleeping on the side of the street, thousands of miles, walking. This is like awfully getting to Crow Park now, right? And I don't know who's going to get a bigger hiding at the end. Honduras at the US border or awfully in Crow Park? That's the question, right? So there's now 7,000 of them walking. This is a fact now. Walking through Mexico. And they're heading for the US border. That's a heap of lads, that. That's a lot of lads. Now, Trump says, you're not coming in. No way. He's going to close the border. Hard to keep out 7,000 lads. You want a good man on the gate. You want a right good man at the gate. You know who they should get?
Well,
the lad from the ploughing. Remember?
Oh,
when
yeah.
We went to the ploughing and went all inside the car park and we said, leave us in. You're not coming in, boys. You're not coming in. And we'd say, I heard on the radio that is open. The ploughing is open. You're not coming in, boys. And all he had was a bit of baling twine and a look. Huh? We were last trying to get loose. We were last trying to get loose all over the place. He had a good look. You need a good look. I'm gone out now. My look has nearly gone off me. But you have a good look. By one time, by... You need a good look now. The young lads acting the barracks right. And you give me a look. Hey. And they'd wished up. One time I was out in the field practicing me look. And I came across a fox and I looked at him. And he fell down stone dead. That's a fact.
That's a fact.
So, best of luck to all the boys in Honduras. They're leaving wives and family and all at home. And they're trying to walk to America. 7,000 of them walking towards the American border. And I get a feeling it's like Johnny's Max on a Sunday morning. It's not going to be pretty. I get the feeling, okay? My second gripe of the week. Sinead O'Connor has converted to Islam.
Wow.
Lads, there has to be an easier way to stay off the drink.
That's wicked. That's a podcast disclaimer, lads. It's no.
Shut up. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'd be fond of a drop.
Yes.
I'd be fond of it. Did you figure that out? You did.
I did, yeah.
Detective Smacks.
Yeah. It's the smell off.
So I heard a lot of lads doing all kinds of things to keep up the drink, stay off the drink, keep the mind busy. Remember Vinnie Maloney? Vinnie joined a brass band. Now, I don't know which got him killed in the end, his whiskey or his flute. They both got a fair going over, I'll tell you that now. John Kylie was hard in the soup. And in an attempt to stay off the soup, he took up the shooting. And that's why there isn't a bird left in Kilmyler.
Do you ever give up the drink now, Noah?
Lent 1969. I was making my communion and I gave up the spirits.
Wow.
Now, I'd still have a few pints after Mass. Just take the edge off the sermon. I hadn't time to be making communions back at that time. I was driving. I drove a tractor in and I took off to Wellies and I went in and made the communion and back out to work on the farm.
The communion?
Yeah. Now,
like 9.
I may have stayed back a few years in school. So anyway, Sinead, right? Well, she changed her name last year to Magda Davis.
Whoa.
And now to Shohada Davis.
Lovely.
She must be trying to get away from the tax man, right? She's doing a few gigs for cash.
Podcast disclaimer, she's not doing gigs for cash.
How do you know? So she's a singer, you know that?
Yeah.
I think we had her for Huey's 60th in the Shamrock.
I don't think so.
I think she did a lovely version of I Shot the Sheriff. Just been a great night. No, sorry, it was Charlie O'Neill. Turns near O'Connor, no, to Charlie O'Neill, South Tipperary's godfather of soul. Armed with a backing track and a bandana. Lock up your mothers. So, in 1992, Sinead O'Connor, she went on the telly over in America and she ripped up a picture of the Pope. I suppose she thought the Pope wouldn't be watching. He wouldn't do it on Italian telly. He wouldn't do it. So 7 years later, she became a priest. That's a fact now, right? But it was kind of a breakaway church. The Catholic Church wouldn't allow her to become a priest because she has boobs. You can't be a priest if you have boobs. Although, mind you, Father Dalton is starting to fucking bulk up now. Huh? He's wanting to push away from the table. I'll put a few suckler calves under him at this stage now, huh? So she have a new album, Sinead. She have a new album coming out next year called I'm Away with the Fairies. No, it's called No Mud, No Lotus. She's no Mary Black, no, I'll tell you that. She's not even a Muriel O'Connor. But she does a great version of The Foggy Jew. But now that she's a Muslim, I don't know if she can be singing about Jews anymore. So we'll find out. She did apply to be a member of Sinn Féin. Sinead O'Connor, yeah, two years ago. She applied to be a member of Sinn Féin. So a few rebel songs wouldn't go astray.
Yeah.
But Sinead, or Shohada, as her name is now, just want to wish best of luck with the Muslimiums, okay? Best of luck with the Muslimiums. Now, local story.
Yes.
We're going dancing. Our little club is running a Strictly Come Dancing fundraiser.
This is actually a true story.
Did you ever hear such shite? Huh? They wouldn't run out to the 45 and they're going to run a dance competition. Huh? They wouldn't get loose and they're going to dance. I tell you, it wouldn't happen if Willie was still chairman. Oh, huh? Willie wouldn't have it. Willie'd set you straight.
Well, Matt, we're just doing the podcast there. I'm going to have to ring you back.
All right. Is that Trish?
Yeah. What?
I thought you forgot you had a mother again.
Nah, no fear of that. I know it's been a couple of days. I know it's been 2 hours since I rang you, but...
You're a liar!
Yeah, I rang you there yesterday.
Hey, Trish, in your own fucking time there, get back to me nails, right?
Go on, I'll talk to you later.
Right, good luck.
Well, that's the height of ignorance.
It's unreal, isn't it? Sorry about that, Noah.
So, as I was saying... We're going down the dancing, right? I wouldn't be a fan of this. Do you remember the great fundraiser we used to have, young Halley, called Pat the Cow?
That's right, yeah.
Pat the Cow. This is true now. You put a cow out into the field and you divide the field up into squares and everyone buys a square and wherever the cow shites, that's the winner. That's a fact. That was a great fundraiser.
That was a fact, yeah.
Last time we made 2,000 grand.
2,000 grand?
Did you not say it was 10?
Well, it was two by the time I got to the AGM. It was no harm to my cow. Two days free grazing. Yeah. Well, it was a great competition. I didn't know why they stopped.
Bad to go.
I liked it. I won it twice. Geraldine have a bag of nuts and the sideline. Anyway, so Billy Burke is going doing the dancing. Billy Burke, you know Billy, you do. Billy Burke, he's going doing the cha, cha, cha. With Eddie Ryan's daughter.
Oh, right.
She'll draw a big crowd.
Will she?
She'll draw a wicked crowd.
Yeah.
Or lad, I seen her dance. I seen him rehearsing in the hotel last week with the yoga pants on. Oh, lad, she have an arse. You could hop a tuppenny piece at it. You could hop a tuppenny at it. And poor Billy's getting palpitations. I don't know. That man have a defibrillator since her Italian 90. Ray Hunt nearly killed a man. So, but the dancing isn't my end of things now. I'm organising the raffle.
Very good.
So at halftime there'll be Tish Gone and there'll be a raffle. I have a bottle of Bushmills as a prize. This is a third prize. It's the Black Bush. Now, I never tried the Black Bush myself. Dermot said he used to be at it when he was over in London, but sure, I suppose after a few of pints it all tastes the same. I had to open it anyway and find out the story, and it's lovely now. So I'm on quality control, and whatever's left of the bottle will be raffled off on tonight. Second prize in the raffle will be a voucher for Sean Sampson's nude agents. Sean Sampson's news agents to the value of €8. If you need envelopes or stamps or an A4 refill pad and you're not in a hurry. A man developed a limp in the 70s, so he didn't have time to get it looked at, but a great second prize. And the third prize is a round roast from Brendan Healy Butchers at Bridge Street. And I said I'd collect it last week and get the job out of the way.
You collected it last week. When is it strictly?
December. So that is in the back of the van, waiting to go. Top prize in the raffle. And I have the judges organised.
You do, did?
Yeah, I organised the judges. Of course, first name on the team sheet, Father Dwyer. Great judge. My second judge, of course, was Councillor Frank Burns. Have to have him, keep him with him.
Yeah.
We want him, we're going for the Grange next year.
We'll need him.
And third judge, of course, they're hoping he'll be out of hospital in time, Junior B manager to Cake O'Brien. He's a big man now. He's like a human Mr. Tato. No, that fella, he's a big man. But the Cake was a fair mover in his day now. Yeah. You forget that.
He was quick over 5 yards.
On the dance halls now.
The dance halls?
In the dance halls. You forget about the Cake. Don't forget about the Cake. The Cake was All-Ireland jiving champion 81-85. And he lost his title in 86 in controversial fashion. Now, the final was on up in Mullingar, right? And the Cake used to dance with this girl from the Midlands, Louise, right? And she'd be coming home from the dancing and she'd be broke up. And the husband was getting suspicious. So then they follow him up to Mullingar, see what was going on. And he went into the rehearsal room beforehand. And they were in full flight. And it wasn't the foxtrot, lads. We're more fucking doggy style now than that, actually. So she went home with the husband. And the Cake had to jive on his own.
Oh, my God.
And he never recovered. He never got back from it. Yeah, took an awful blow. He'd go home then and explain the whole thing to the wife. And I told you this before. The wife said to him, "'Tis me or the dancing." And he danced out the door.
Brilliant stuff, Noah.
So he stayed with us for a while after that, actually, the Cake, when the wife threw him out.
Yeah.
Ashley Jay's the house up and had all his driving trophies up on the mantelpiece, up beside the Pope and Tiki Rock. So you better buy a ticket. Are you going to go to it?
Yeah, be there. I'm actually emceeing it.
Because you're not. Because you're not. Who said you're emceeing it?
I thought the club asked me, no?
Because I didn't ask you. I wouldn't let you emcee the Angelus. Dermot will do it.
Dermot's doing it, isn't he?
A great man to talk. Jeez, I couldn't have you on stage with Father Dwyer in the audience. Look, Hallie is here to mind you now, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go away, boys.
Have you something to be at?
I'm going to the county final.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Art Finn and my Rovers.
Who do you want to win?
Oh, sure, I hope the whole place is struck by lightning. Alright, boys, I'm away.
See you later, Noel. Thank you. Alright, so with our normal producer Maura at home in bed with it coming out both ends. I'm joking. Poor old Maura is sick though. She has food poisoning. So stepping in, as we said earlier on, was Jur. So it's now your mystery topic for 1 week, 1 week only. What is your mystery topic, Jur?
Gotta make it count. One shot of this.
Go on, the sparrow.
Just said I keep it relevant to you, just with everything that's gone on the weekend. You've all been both involved in a lot of these from your own personal experiences.
Orgies.
not quite. But if my question for you is, if you were the president of the GA and you were set a task, how do you stop the mass brawls, lads?
How do you stop the mass brawls?
The malaise, the schmozzles.
Well, we went on in the news. A lot of it was Lee Shirley, wasn't it?
There was a good bit, yeah, about Camross and Rathdowney and that kind of stuff. And there was rows up the north that had been coming out as well.
Your man Blowing Dingle, he got a ban.
Yeah, he got a 2 week ban. Yeah. And now he bust your man, like, dropped him with a box.
Like, two lads in a schmozzle is one thing, but any fella who runs in from the sideline.
Yeah.
You can't condone that.
Can't be at that.
Now, we've been involved in a fair few schmozzles.
You had a right go there for a while.
Yeah, I gave you
a fair cut, Johnny. Yeah.
I burnt the candle at both ends there for a while. My disciplinary record would be nothing, you know, to write home about, but Dragar's brawls, like, players will always fight with each other, regardless. Like, that's been going on donkey's years. Paddy O'Shea turned around and chinned lads, and, you know, it was grand. I think if there's no fight and the players are at it, you know, and the referee is standing there watching it, he's taking notes or whatever, leave them at it. My problem is when lads come in from the sideline. And I've had lads come in from the sideline before. I've had a couple of selectors come in and give you a bit of abuse, like, and if a selector's on the field, he deserves a slap. To a certain degree. If he's... Say the likes of the Dingle lad now, who came in and threw a box.
He was fair game, no?
He was fair game after that. How do you stop it?
Yeah.
You just have to... Proper bans.
Yeah, because especially a selector or a manager, he's the leader of that group. Do you know? You look to him, well, what'll I do here? Do I have to drop my sweeper? You look to him and he's supposed to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And if he's coming in from the sideline acting childish... Or even abusing lads. We're going to get on to that. Ah, yeah, it has to go.
Yeah, definitely. Like, there has to be a proper...
If a fella runs in from the sideline and chins someone and he's a selector...
He's got to be getting a couple of years, then, yeah.
Well, he can't be a selector the following year.
Yeah.
Yeah. You reckon a kind of a...
A one-year ban.
Ban across the country. Where if it happened in Donegal or happened in Carlow or happened in Wexford.
Yeah, I think...
Because you see what happened in the two matches. The two down teams were thrown out.
Oh yeah, were they?
The two down teams were thrown out.
That was a reserve championship.
Yeah, they kind of went at the crowd, teams. And then your man Blowing Dingle... Got a 2 week ban. An 8 week ban. He won't miss any matches, they're saying.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
It is absolutely outrageous, yeah. I think the problem is, you see, they're letting the county boards deal with it individually. So you've got to come in there from Crow Park and just blanket... It'll only take two or three lads to make an example of it, and that'll be it then. They'll stop it, like.
We've been watching a lot of American football documentaries lately, and they're full of shite, but they're all about respect. And if you run in from the sideline, if you're the third man in, it's a huge suspension.
Yeah, to get done. You have to have it that way, lads. You can't have this carry on as selectors and lads jumping into the crowd. The one you're on about where the boys run and jump over the fence and start boxing in the crowd, that's just mental. Like
that was the down one, I think.
Yeah, that's insane. That can't carry on. Dangerous for people there, like.
Mm.
So, I mean, if you were there now and you had a young child that, like, and you were standing...
He fucking able to handle himself.
Yeah, I think the way to deal with it, great topic, but the way to deal with it is just long bans, I think. And fines. There's not a GAA club hates more than money being taken from them.
I know it's awful to talk about punishment. We should be talking about education and teaching and all. But the only way that, just say, smacks the lunatic and he's selector. The only way the club is going to step in is if they say, Jez, don't have that man down there. He costs us €1,000.
Costs €1,000.
Yeah.
That's the only way that the rest of the committee is actually going to do anything about it.
Yeah, the club probably have to take responsibility, and then Crow Park probably have to slap a ban on top of that.
Because we know lads who got sideline bans, and a week later they're in the front row of the crowd.
Yeah. We have them, lads. We have them.
If anyone have them, we have
them. Yeah, we have them. That's a fact.
Jura, any thoughts yourself?
What about the appeal process, lads? How does that... Say Johnny gets a ban.
Well, sure, it has to be an appeal process, I suppose.
Yeah, but we all know the GA.
appeals process don't always go to plan.
You might, you know, if I, like those two down teams got, just using them as an example now, but they got, you know, they got, I think they're banned from next year's league or next year's championship.
Well,
but the chances are they'll be playing in them come and appeal.
They will appeal them, yeah.
You know, when it dies down a bit.
Yeah, I had a ban, I had a 12-week ban overturned to 6 weeks on appeal.
Scumbag.
No, but I can't remember what it was. It was for something harmless enough. No, it wasn't that major. Like, you know, back then, you see, they used to ban you by weeks.
Not games.
Not games. So I actually didn't miss any games.
Yeah.
It was just like, you automatically appeal a suspension regardless. So, like, it was the end of the season. Like, I didn't miss anything. But now that you have, like, a one-game ban. I think, isn't it? Yeah, you get, if you get a straight red now, you get a one-game ban. That's in tipping you.
Yeah, I think if you're a selector,
there has to be serious.
Has to be serious.
Yeah, much harsher. Like, because a player can be fired up, he's sweating, and he's after getting a belt or whatever.
Yeah.
But a manager, like, he should be banned from the sideline for a year.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? Because it's not right to, like, maybe that lad who got the 8-week ban. Like, what's to say he's not coaching the under-12s next year?
Yeah, exactly.
And not carrying on the same way. Maybe he's probably not going to duke an under-12 player. But, like, maybe he's abusing the ref.
Yeah.
He'd lay down the line. Lay down the law.
So, get harsher on suspensions. And
yeah, we hate to see it, but...
And the club itself takes some responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of a fine.
There you go. Jor, love this week's mystery topic, boy. He's a natural.
No bother, boys.
He's now going to be taking over primetime television next week. That was Jor's mystery topic. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Get in contact with us on Instagram and Snapchat at Johnny Smacks, at Johnny B Tipman, and you can also get in touch with us by using the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number 2, JOHNNIESPOD.
And there's been some good stuff on the Snapchat and Instagram this week now.
Unreal, lads. Remember, if he posts a photo on Instagram using the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod, we'll see it.
We'll see it, lads.
You know, so get using it.
That's the stuff we read out, like. It don't come in the post. Actually.
Speaking of what comes in the post, yeah.
We're still getting letters. The Two Johnnies, County Tipperary.
Fair play to the boys down the post office.
And poster delivering. This year, you have it there, Johnny, have you?
I have it here, yeah. Yeah,
throw it over there. This is a cassette. It is the cassette. See, he's holding it up to the microphone. It's the cassette single of the Saw Doctors' I Used to Love Her from 1991.
And someone else sent us in a vinyl of the Saw Doctors with my favourite song, That's What She Said Last Night.
It's a vinyl single release.
Mm. And the boys are caricatures on the front, so it's class, lads. Yeah, we love all that stuff.
And also from Lady in Tiptown, she sent us the 45 vinyl single of the theme tune to WrestleMania on record.
Yeah,
you're taking the piss.
No, I haven't done something like that. Yeah.
It's excellent. We love it, boy. Keep it coming.
So, if anybody wants to send us a vinyl player, that'll be great.
That's next on the list. Yeah, all right. Topic number 2. Parents on the sideline. As Jorah alluded to there in his mystery topic, there's been a lot of incidents lately of parents, you know, and spectators alike getting involved in rows and stuff on the sideline. And particularly now we want to focus on parents of underage sides and stuff on the sideline. We've heard horror stories. I mean, we just want to give our take on it.
Yeah, so we were reading a great blog on CoachK.com. This guy talks about the youth sports triangle. So think of a triangle, right? Top of the triangle is the player. Bottom left, the coach. On the other side is the parent. Each of those has their own relationship. The player-parent, the player-coach, and the coach-parent have a relationship. And they all have to be working reasonably well before a player is going to perform.
Yeah. Fully agree with you.
Responsibilities of the parent. On the sideline. Support the child. Support the coach. Coach, communicate your concerns properly to the coach. Ask him real questions. If you're asking the coach a bad question, like, oh, what's that about? What you're really saying is, you're doing a shite job.
Yeah.
And lastly, respect the coach's preferred medium for feedback. So if the coach sets up a WhatsApp group for parents, don't arrive to his door with a hatchet. Yeah. Try and work through the channels that he's given you, or else raise them and improve them.
100%. I've got a piece here that was written in the Irish Examiner on the online, and it's a guy who was interviewed here, Antonio Mantera, and he trains the underage soccer teams for Castleknock Celtic in Dublin.
Antonio Mantera?
Yeah.
The gunfighter?
No, I don't think so. So he's got a quote here. I've heard parents call players little. See you next Tuesdays. He says, you hear comments like get stuck in or break his leg or hurt him. Negative stuff. Coaches might pick up on one particular player who they don't like. In some cases, it could be his own child. And it could be constant. I've heard lots and lots of foul language being used towards kids and particularly referees. And, you know, he goes on to say that children react to the abuse in different ways. They cry, some vomit from distress, more give up playing. Others get flustered, freeze on the pitch during matches, weighed under from the barking from the parents and coaches.
That's hardcore, lad.
That is hardcore, like, but I guess that's what we're facing.
Parents on the sideline, they'd be around with each other.
Yeah.
This is a regular thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of...
Happened in your time, Jor. There was two parents wrestling on the pitch during a game.
We remember.
Yeah. Under 12, was it?
Was it under 12, under 14?
Yeah.
That goal anyway, that kind of age group. Yeah.
Two parents wrestling on the ground.
From opposite teams, of course.
Abusing the ref is the worst of it, I think.
Yeah.
It's not nice to see kids about, like, at that age badmouthing referees.
But the parents, John.
Oh, yeah. But it's coming from home. Like, that's where it's happening.
Mm. Yeah, it definitely is. I probably agree on that. Like, the behaviour towards ref, parents are shouting at the ref, listen, I've had my fair share of words with refs over the years.
Are you telling me you've spoken back to a referee, John?
I've shouted at him from the back of the stand, yeah, after he sent me off. But it can happen. Like, I felt bad now doing that. Now, like, that was an adult game. You know, tempers were flaring. But I think at a kid's game, to see lads abusing a referee at an under 12 game or something like that, lads, it just sets such a bad example to the kids. And then the kids think like that's acceptable and they get to 14, 15, then they're abusing refs. By the time we get to minors, they're delinquents.
And I'll tell you one thing, it don't happen in rugby.
It doesn't. And that just... Yeah, now in fairness, I don't think the GA is as bad. Soccer is particularly bad.
In our experience, we're not saying worldwide, but in our experience, the mountain back at soccer is very bad.
Yeah.
The sparrow was looking over. I've never even been to a soccer team.
But you see, that is a big problem, like, that comes from parents on the sideline. I think a lot of parents think they played the game and now their kids are playing the game. I think they've got, like, big expectations for their kids, which is probably wrong as well. I don't think you should have any expectations for your kids. You're probably just let them enjoy the game. Let them get on with it. Don't be really going to town.
Oh, this is from the guy who said, like, two episodes ago, if my son wasn't good at hurling, I'd never let him play.
Yeah, but, like, I wouldn't be forcing him to play.
Yes, you would!
I don't think I would. If he wasn't... I think the problem is, there is parents who force kids to play sports.
Right.
Certainly, there definitely is. We all know them. I wouldn't be forcing my kids to play it if they weren't, like... Listen, if they were good and they had a chance of playing, you know, to really stand out, yeah, you'd probably be like, look, go on, Jimmy, give it a try, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you can't force them to play. And if they're not that good at it and they're not enjoying it, yeah, of course I tell them to stop. If he's a sub every game, I'd be like, here, look, you're not wasting your Saturdays and Sundays. Go on doing this. If you don't enjoy it, like, you don't like it, of course.
Okay. On parents on the sideline, what's your thoughts on the silent sideline abroad in England?
Yeah, the silent sideline was tried out over in England by a number of clubs and leagues. And it's where parents go on the sideline and they just can't speak. They can't encourage. They can't really do much. They can clap, of course. If a goal goes in, they can cheer.
Well, if a goal goes in, can you go, "Yoo!"?
I suppose you probably can, yeah. No one's going to stop you doing that.
"Yoo!"
The big problem that they got out there in England, like when they're talking about this silent silence, is parents instructing the players on what to do. So you move there or play the ball wide or you pull out wide and stuff like that. That's the coach's job. They should be telling the kids that. No one else. You shouldn't have your father shouting down from the stand or your mother.
So if you're in the stand and you see something being done tactically wrong.
Yeah.
Not just, oh, come on, like, tactically wrong, like, a guy's out of position.
Yeah.
You're going to bite your tongue and not say anything.
I think to an extent you kind of have to let them make the mistakes, don't you?
Yeah,
you
have to.
Play.
It's about learning. Yeah. It's underage sport. Now, if it's senior football, you can roar down and abuse the life of your man working in the corner shop if you want. But I'm saying this is particularly an underage sport. You've got to let the coach do his job.
And Ajax were the big men for this, weren't they?
Ajax were huge over there, yeah. Ajax in Amsterdam. So they're famed for their academy and bringing kids through and how many kids they bring through to go and play professional soccer. And it was them who actually came about with this silent sideline. And on one side of the pitch, they have a full-length banner that just spells out S-I-L-E-N-C-E, silence. Wow. So it worked well for them.
Did you ever have, like, your mother never coached one of your teams, did she?
Just on one occasion, the coach didn't turn up underage and she done it, yeah. She done a fine job. You're talking about parents like being quiet on the sideline. She is not quiet on the sideline. And it was gas. I went to me sister. I had an under 12 county final a couple of weeks ago. And my mother was like, look, you're going to have to come now. And so I went to the match. And Sunday morning at 10 o'clock in the rag. Ooh. County final at 10 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, look, I got over the fact it was on at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And I went and I said to Mother, God, I hope you're not as loud now, you know, or going as crazy when Abby plays as when I play. And I was delighted to find out she was just as insane as when I played. And, you know, she's not screaming instructions as such. She's just like, ah, come on, Abby. You know, and it was the exact same when I played, to the point of one day during a match, a street league game, I had to go over and say, hey, stop shouting at me. And then she just said nothing, and I got home. She said, don't you ever embarrass me in front of people like that again. She was sitting beside the local solicitor inside the dugout. She's like, you made a show of me in front of him. So we got over it. Yeah, but my man was, she's a good woman now. Like, she thought she was Cyril Farrell. Like,
yeah.
She'd break down every play in the game when you got home. So if we won, I'd be delighted to get into the car, and she'd be telling me I was the best hurler ever. And if we lost, then I'd walk home, take around 2 hours, try and let the defeat lie a bit, like, you know what I mean, before I get home to go through every play.
Okay, because we did get a bit of that at the GAA Youth Forum. We had a guy from the Ladies Gaelic Football Association who won the main men, and he said he is a brother much younger, and they were playing under 12, and brother had a bad game or whatever, and he gave the whole next day and all talking about the game, when this happened, when that happened, remember he made that mistake. After about 3 weeks, the brother turned around and said, I'm not playing anymore. That's it, I quit. No explanation. Brother went to secondary school, played basketball for Leinster. Proper athlete now, into his sports. Never played GAA again. But one day, at under 21, they were stuck. And he went in full forward and scored a hat-trick.
Yeah.
And he said to them, when he grew up, like, he said it to them afterwards, it was because when I came home, you were all Gaelic mad, and it was GAA morning, noon, and night, and I was sick of it.
Yeah. It can have that effect on you, like it, that you're constantly listening to it and you constantly feel the pressure. And of course the kid's going to feel the pressure if everybody's constantly talking about this one thing that's going on. So I think you've got to cut him a bit of slack.
It can be a good thing too though, like, I mean,
to a certain degree, yeah.
Irish men wouldn't be great to communicate, and having sport to talk about is,
it's probably one way of doing it, yeah.
Do you know, well, how are you, what's the crack?
Yeah.
just cork or shite, aren't they? Yeah, yeah. Then you're off, like, yeah. You know.
But to be fair, like, I found it great that my mother, you know, went to all my games and she'd tell me if I was good or I was bad, because she'd always tell me the truth, which was the main thing. You know, as a player, like, if you are after having a bad game, you don't need someone to go, oh, you had a great game, because you know yourself you haven't had a good game.
Yeah.
So being told the truth is probably more helpful than being fed, like, oh, you're brilliant, well done today. Like, you know, and you're absolutely chronic, like.
Lads do get carried away a small bit.
Yeah.
I used to see it when we were making hurleys. You'd have a fella come in and the son would be, whatever, 13, 14, 15, head to toe in the county colours. And he'd be over picking out a hurley, and the father would be like, oh, he's on the development squad now. Oh, he's nearly the best of them there. Going on like this. And the young fella would be rolling his eyes in the background saying, would you shut up, da?
That
happened every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People come in picking him up.
There was days my mother told me I'd be an all-star, and then there was days she said, like, you best not offer up. So
did you tell me one day you had a bad game and she made you sleep in the shed?
That is untrue. I chose to sleep in the shed. No, I'm joking. We had a row over something one day, one of the matches I was playing or something. I went away, I told her I was running away from home. I was 24 at the time.
He got as far as the shed.
But I think the thing I hear a lot of parents doing, and something I've never had to worry about anyway, because, like, Abby is so much younger than me, but comparing kids in sport, you know, if your older brother is really, really good and then you're coming through, you're always kind of in his shadow trying to live up to his billing. And it doesn't always work. I think that can have a negative effect on kids as well. So
that's, you know, what happened to Sparrow, in that when he came into the setup, his older brother had been a knacky cornerback. And for about 7 years afterwards, Joe was put cornerback when he was no more a cornerback than the man in the moon.
There you go.
And the right, Joe, Eamon Halley.
Still holding the ground to this day.
Yeah.
It's a difficult chain to break.
The cornerback. Now, my father never coached the team I was on. He was coached the minors and I was only a bye. I'd been behind the goal, hitting out the ball. It was great. But we had one of the other players' parents. He was a coach. And he was in goal. Do you remember this? And he'd say, right, in goal, my David.
Yeah.
Now, my David was a great player. Savage hurler. But you can't be calling him my David.
Yeah, you can.
And I think my David listens to the podcast. So come back to us someday. And we got another lad. He only came back from college because his father was a selector. And I'm fairly sure his father was paying his diesel. I had another manager. Sure. Not you. But at one stage, we had a manager whose son was the coach and fullback. Now, it sounds worse than it is. He was a good player.
Yeah,
he was. And a good coach. But that's more the club than Ant really, isn't it? Like,
that's bad from the club, yeah.
That's bad from the club, yeah.
I played underage with Os Cray the whole way up, and I never ever had a coach whose son was on the team.
It's handy because if you have a child and you have to drop him down to the field and you want to help the club, you may as well coach his age group and then let his mother be at home cleaning the house.
Yeah. I'd sooner drop him and get home to the mother.
Boom, boom.
No, but look, I think it's great people coaching their club, but I wouldn't recommend them to coach their own kids. Probably let your own child have his own space. Let him have a coach who isn't you. So he's not coming to training with you in the car. You're training him. He's getting back in the car with you. You're going home. You're talking about training. That's a bit too much for a kid, I think.
Would you have to explain it to the rest of the family now? Because if you have, say, a wife at home and she's not into sport,
yeah,
she's saying, like, why are you dropping him down to under-12s and then you're going coaching the under-16s? Like, can't you look after your own child? That's a tough talk to have at home.
It's
tough.
A fair point, but you've probably got to have it and you've probably got to explain it to her. And, you know, she don't like it. It's not. It'll be a black bag waiting for your job.
Or for a Halloween costume.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think if your child's on the team, and we've had it happen, and we've had it happen probably at adult level as well, all three of us playing the same team and stuff like that, where a parent's involved and their son or daughter is playing on the team, they probably don't deserve a place in the team. See, and everybody else is talking about it. So you're as well off to save yourself the trouble, save your child the trouble, by just not doing it.
Yeah, it's all grand if your child is the best player on the team or one of the first team names down the sheet.
There's no issue there.
But if it's a 50-50 call, who should be on the team, you know, my child or some other lad.
That's where you create trouble for yourself, probably.
Mm. And following them up all the way then is even worse.
That's the worst thing, yeah.
That's the worst thing.
We've seen it, but fair play to everybody who does volunteer. And to any parents who are giving coaches abuse, will you take a look at yourselves, lads? Or else just go and do it yourselves if you're so worried about it. I hate to see that, people criticising.
Sure, and you want to throw in here?
Oh, it's horrible to see. It's especially like when you want kids just to play when they're so young. They should just be competing and enjoying themselves. But then when you see the parents getting excited on the sideline, you're just there like, why do you even go to the game if you're going to get so riled up? Like, you know, and parents know, geez, if they see something going on, they're going to get riled up. A lot of them know what they're going to be like. So you may stay in the car, I'd say, and listen to the radio maybe.
It's awful. I've seen a parent being restrained on the field and then their own child, who's a teenager, just being like, oh, dad, get off the field.
Yeah, my mother at halftime in Portro.
And if you want to talk about the game after the game, say it to the child. Is it okay? Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, we'll have an old quick chat there and leave it at that then.
Yeah, because they might want to vent.
And don't inflate the egos, lads. Don't build them up to knock them down.
Was it Ollie Cannon said that to us yesterday?
Yeah.
You're never as good as they say you are. And you're never as bad as they say you are.
So before the De Laurentiis come and play us out with their interviewing song, we have to do our yurts and dirts of the week. Yurt or dirt. This is where we, the two Johnnies, give our highlight and lowlight of the week. Johnny B, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, my yurt of the week is Camogie player Áine O'Reilly up in Limerick. On Saturday, she married Paddy O'Dwyer. He was hurled for Limerick. And on Sunday, the day after her own wedding, she went out and played full forward for Ballygran Intermediate Hurlers, Intermediate Camogie team, in the county final replay versus Cricora. And they won.
Wow.
So she had the wedding on the Saturday, and she went out and played the county final on the Sunday.
She's some woman.
Someone.
That's it. He's a lucky man.
That's marriage material.
He is a lucky man.
I heard she even cooked dinner for the wedding as well.
My dirt of the week is the clocks going back. Pointless. Just bringing not into our lives only more misery. And dark evenings and thistles and torn and old damp socks. So stop fucking with the clocks. Just leave them as they are, lad.
You want to get rid of daylight savings?
Yeah, because I used to hate it, especially when I was in school. You go to school, it's dark. You get out then 4 o'clock, it's fucking dark again. Pure misery. Iceland job. I'm not for it. Leave the clocks. Stop fucking with them. We get the extra hour in the evening.
What if we went half and half?
Half an hour. Nah,
yeah.
So you're still messing with it, like. I woke up this morning, didn't know where I was. I didn't know whether to eat me dinner or me lunch.
Non-alcohol related.
Yeah, I wasn't even out last night. So leave the clocks alone. That's my dirt of the week. Johnny, give us your dirt.
My dirt of the week. I got bad goujons during the week.
Oh, where'd you get them? Go on, call them out.
Hang on now. I went into a place and I seen the goujons. And I said, goujons, kid, throw them out.
Yeah, of course.
And as soon as I got them, I was suspicious. They were too perfectly shaped. They weren't goujons. They were nuggets in the shape of goujons. Oh. The ultimate betrayal.
That's not right.
Goujons has to be like a mini chicken fillet that you can actually pull the strips out of.
Yeah.
If it's minced up together, it's just a chicken nugget. There's a severe difference between a nugget and a goujon.
My God. Have a sip of that herbal tea. Yeah, sorry. I'm getting very excited there.
Right, go on. I'm just saying, if you're out there making goujons, don't fuck around. It's a serious business to us, okay?
Don't mess with chicken, lads.
Don't mess. My yurt of the week, lads. The Unbelievables. Right? They're as old as tea.
I've heard of them. Yeah.
But I tell you one thing, they're class. So during the week, for some reason or another, I got on a YouTube binge and I ended up watching around 3 hours of The Unbelievables, and they're just absolutely class. Loved it. And me and you drove up to Dublin to the youth forum and we're just talking about it the whole way.
Oh, Nurse Maloney!
But the thing, right, I put it on my Instagram, my Snapchat, and I got a lot of messages. Who are they? So lads, if you're listening to this podcast and you've never heard of The Unbelievables, will you go in and get yourself sorted out?
Sort your life out.
And look it out. They're my yurt of the week. And also, before we go and we switch to the De Laurentiis, we're going to hear their interview and they're going to play us out a Netflix recommendation for you. Derren Brown is back, right? The man who fucks minds, right? So he's got a new Netflix special. It's called Derren Brown Sacrifice. Go and watch it, lads. And if you'll see two or three other Derren Brown ones come up on Netflix, well, watch them. Spoke about before in the podcast. It's unreal. It'd blow your minds. So there you go.
Okay, so the big thing to take away from this week's podcast is buy tickets to our gig in Whelan's, the Two Johnnies Christmas party. We'll be there, Maura will be there, full live band, special guests. Sparrow might be there if we give him a free ticket.
Yes, and it is a music show, lads. The first one of its kind.
Yeah.
So.
New songs and all that coming out. Okay, Next, fantastic band. They came in, gave a great interview and sang live at our live podcast. This is from the second night in the Sugar Club in Dublin. Ladies and gentlemen, De Laurentiis.
We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. I've been Johnny Smacks.
I've been Johnny B.
I'm the Sparrow Halley.
Yay! We'll be back next week. Here's the De Laurentiis.
De Laurentiis, everybody, yeah! No! Gonna come over. Now, and my mother said I'd amount to nothing. Boys, we've only got one microphone recession and all that crack, so. Would you not do a bit of jiving music or something for the crowd? No.
That was jiving music. That was our jiving.
Is that about as happy as the De Laurentiis get now?
I thought we were going to be in the middle of all the crack, so it would be fun to do something sort of gentle and nice.
Right, yeah. Thanks for that. Anyway, so.
There's a couple of lads from Galway down the back just going, can you play Galway Girl, lads? Yeah. No.
Play something from Mumford and Sons. Yeah, we were listening to one of your songs there, and the chorus is, you and me are islands, and we don't care.
What's the message?
Yeah, like this crowd want to hear about fucking silage and riding and fighting and you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I met a girl in Clonmel and then I had to fight her brother. Like, that's a hit. You know what I mean? Are you getting this? You're writing this down.
I should have taken notes. I
should have brought my notepad. You never know where you're going to find inspiration for the next hit single.
Yeah.
So. Because honestly, like, people will listen to shit. We're fairly at home with that now.
I suppose our best known song just spells out the word secret over and over again.
That's the key, like, you know.
Yeah. S-E-C-R-E-T.
Is this the worst interview you've ever had to do?
No, the worst interview I did recently was an Electric Picnic recently, and the fella thought we were someone else. I think he thought we were Bewitched or something. And he was going, and yeah.
What the fuck's
that? Yeah. Jesus, you let yourselves go, lads.
Where's the fucking denim?
Yeah. But he was in a totally different interview, and I stood there, and I was answering the questions, and I realised halfway through, and I think he realised halfway through, and the fear didn't go through the mic, but yeah, and then it was just a salvage operation.
So, Brezzy, tell us about your new book.
Yeah, well, blind boy.
I had to ask you, Ro, is it true your great-grandfather is Carl Brewer?
Yes. It is true.
That's a fucking fact, lads.
Like,
see, you clap for the blind boy thing.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think of the Brits?
I think they've come a long way since that incident. The documentary Black 47 I went to see recently. I don't know if anyone else has seen that. They've come a little way since then.
You wouldn't have an old M16 lying around the house now, right?
Let's just say, well, the guitar case has many compartments. It could be anything in
there. There you go. I was thinking, all right, that day that we seen you in Dublin Airport, you were packing a bit of heat. You got throwing it off at the Ryanair slot there.
You always like, because
where are we heading that weekend? You were.
Geez, we play everywhere.
Yeah. That particular Collins. Weekend, I think you were going to London, actually. You know?
Oh, no, that was
Paddy's. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to London, yeah. Like everyone else. Yeah.
Just gigging, or were you? Had you another operation on over there?
That was a goodwill mission. That was a goodwill mission.
Goodwill mission.
Yeah. We wanted. We'll leave the De Valera jokes for next week now. Yeah. But things are going well, and at the moment you're independent. But you were telling us you did have a big record deal once, and then what happened?
Bertie Ahern fucked you, like the rest of us.
The recession kicked in.
There was this big wave, and there was some, like, you know. I think everyone would agree at the moment Irish music is in an amazing place with Hozier, Codeline, Villagers, there's loads of amazing bands. But we've been around long enough to have seen a previous golden era of Irish music, I suppose. And it was
Saul
that kind Octaves of like...
and Mary Black. And,
exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Declan Nerney.
Declan Nerney.
Is he here? Is he not here?
No. But yeah, sort of around late. We had this like 2007, we'd been working for a few years and we'd released our first album and yeah, we were on the cusp of this deal and going to be travelling the world and Jules Holland and all that kind of stuff, and then Bertie did his dance, you
know? Something similar happened to me, but I was just working in a spa at the time. So you know, I got let go as well, and I'm sure it probably hurt as
I was
much.
Working in Londis at the
time. Yeah, I'm not fucking going back there, lads. Thanks for buying the tickets. Sound. But lads, your album's out now.
Yes, it is. Do you want to do a plug?
Yeah, on, plug the fuck over there, lads.
So, you're supposed to do the plug and we're supposed to nod along. When you
I think it's more organic, lads, if you do.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, our new album.
Yes.
Yes, True Surrender is out now in the shops.
Yeah.
And we are selling that out the back of the van. If anyone wants to...
and they're also doing a deal on chalk ices as well. It's 2-for-1 on the back of the van. And
don't take the chalk ices from the bottom. Just take the ones.
Take the ones.
They've got frostbite. The ones at the bottom. No, and we've got a new album. We're touring that at the moment. We're about to go do a national tour. The closest one to Tip is Kilkenny, I believe. Although technically on the road, you know, you get to Cork quicker. It's 55 minutes to Cork. 60 minutes to Kilkenny.
Cork is probably the lesser of two evils there.
Yeah.
It had to be said at some point in the podcast. I thought I'd get it out of the way first.
And what's the new single?
The new song, the song that you're currently not hearing on the radio is SOS.
Oh, the song is SOS and the album is called True Surrender.
Yeah,
it sounds like barrel laugh,
giving it in. Yeah. Giving it in.
Feel good hit of the summer, ladies.
It's actually all very cheery and people will have an enormously good time.
Okay, and the new single will be Me Dog Just Died.
That's the B-side.
That's the B-side.
No, we're in the Olympia, if anyone's in Dublin, 10th of November. So,
And you'll have the full band with you then?
Yeah. Full band. So.
Brilliant.
And we have plugged in instruments and we have keyboards and we have people of lots of different races on stage. So we'll be really happy. We did a show for RTE before, I can't remember, the cafe, was it? When we're starting out, 2008, 2007, and they used to do the thing where in the afternoon you'd record it once in your, you know, in your good clothes, you record it once, and they do all the zoom in, because one camera, so they do all the zoom in bits in that, you know,
yeah,
and you know the kind of shooting around like this, and then they'd have the static camera, you do it live later on. So we're playing a new song, and it's all going great, and it's live, you know, and Louis Walsh is sitting there picking his nose in front of us, and he wasn't. I'm sorry, Louis. He's listening to this. I wasn't,
yeah, I wouldn't say he fucking listens to this.
But so halfway through, the guitar strap broke, guitar fell on the ground, and you know went everywhere. And I was standing there, and I said, "Will we stop?" So I'm standing there. I'm like, "Will we stop, lads? Will we stop? It's live." And then it cuts to me rocking out from earlier on, you know, and it comes back again, and I'm like, we're going to keep going. It's live now, is it? And then it cuts to me. You know? Same people were at home thinking they were on acid or something.
Name three people. This is the last question, lads. You'll be glad to know.
Okay,
you can,
three people.
Name three people, dead or alive, you'd like to go for a feed of pints with.
Michael D.
Michael
alive.
D.
Michael yeah. D. Alive. Donald Trump dead.
Yeah.
So the next time you see us waiting in the queue in the airport at immigration or whatever, you'll know why.
Yeah, fucking dead right.
Random security check, lads. I went to. Jesus.
Jesus, yeah, he'd be. Oh, well,
Jesus. He'd make his own pints.
Okay.
On that note, lads, give it up one more time for the Delorentos.
So this song is totally non-sexual in every way. It is non-sexual. I've been learning to dive from photos on the internet while everybody else gets wet. Before I learn how to swim, I wanna know what to expect while everybody else gets wet. But you give me hope that I'll learn the ropes, so teach me the strokes. While everybody else gets wet. At the water's side, treat your body with the respect. Oh, while everybody else gets wet. But you give me hope that I learn the ropes. Teach me the strokes. Don't wanna be your ghost. Won't be a shadow. Not gonna get too close. Won't be a shadow. Standing with the coats, I'm the one that you forget while everybody else gets wet. Still a quiet child going for the cool. While everybody else gets wet. But you give me hope that I'll learn the ropes, so teach me the strokes. Don't wanna be your ghost. Won't be a shadow. Not gonna get too close. Won't be a shadow. Thank you.
Roger, fuck off.